The word of the Lord today is, what are you doing? This is God speaking. You will read this in 1 Kings chapter 19. God is speaking to Elijah. God is speaking twice to Elijah. And he's saying, what are you doing here, Elijah? So today I'm inviting you to put your own name in there. Because God is speaking to us and he's saying, what are you doing, Joe? What are you doing, Mary? What are you doing, John? What are you doing here? God is speaking. God wants to engage with us. And as we look at this story today, I want to encourage you. It is just like the whole theme of this meeting, what has come out through all the songs and everything about this battle. There is the most intense battle going on all around the world at the moment. And as Melvin said, it's a spiritual battle. And as the worship team sang, that battle belongs to the Lord. But we've got to stand in it. We are part of it. We are part of it. So today we're going to look at Elijah. And we're going to see that this situation Elijah found himself in is not too different from the situation that we find ourselves in today. And God is coming to us and saying, what are you doing? And it's not a rebuke. It's arms wide open. Come and engage with me. Tell me how you are feeling. Pour everything out on the Lord. And the Lord will take you to a deeper encounter and will give you your next assignment and take you to your destiny. This is what the Lord wants for us today. So, maybe not everybody is familiar with the story of Elijah. So Elijah is a mighty prophet of God. And when we read in chapter 19, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. When we read this story, this is after Elijah had seen a mighty victory on Mount Carmel, where the power of God was demonstrated with the fire of God coming down for all to see. And all the false prophets, when they called on their God, nothing happened. And eventually Elijah himself kills every one of these false prophets. So this is what happens. Verse 1, when Ahab was the king, got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah, may the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with me, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord said, told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain, It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloth and went out and stood at the entrance on the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied again, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with me, torn down your altars and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Then the Lord told him, "Go back the same way you came. Travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel Meholab, to replace you as my prophet." And so he goes on, the Lord speaking to him and giving him his next assignment. What are you doing? What are you doing? Here we have this remarkable story following another remarkable story that everybody knows about, how Elijah was used so mightily by the Lord. But within, just after this happened, Jezebel. So the king was Ahab. Ahab had been totally disobedient to the commands of the Lord. He had taken Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, as his wife. He had broken the law of God because he had taken a daughter of an ungodly nation as his wife. And this woman, Jezebel, she served Baal and she worshipped Baal. And she was such an influence over Ahab, and that Ahab was disobeying the plain commands of the Lord. And he ended up building a house for Baal worship, and he was putting altars up for false gods. So this was a terrible situation for the whole nation. And then we have Elijah that goes up with the boldness of the Holy Spirit and calls on the Lord, and the Lord, the fire falls in the previous chapter, and he kills all the prophets. Now you would think, wouldn't you, if you had just witnessed that, would you not think that the people would say, "Yes, God, Jehovah is God"? That is what you would think, and that is what the ordinary people did. But here we read, not so with Jezebel. And there's the spirit behind this woman that we even see in this day. We see the spirit of Jezebel that blinds people, that even with the demonstration of the power of God, they choose not to believe. They choose not to believe because of the Jezebel spirit. And the Jezebel spirit, she was determined to kill the prophets of God. Why? Because the word of God says that God will do nothing except he will reveal it first to his prophets. God has made himself dependent on his ecclesia, his church. He works through his church. And so the spirit of Jezebel, the enemy, wants to kill God's people. The enemy is trying to immobilize the people of God at the moment all around the world, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because the spirit of God is rising up in each one of us. And God is stirring each one of us up this day, and he's saying, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" So that we can come to our senses. It starts off with, in verse 3, we see that Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. Fear came. Here we have this mighty man of God. He has done things that none of us have done for the Lord. You know, we we think of him as a mighty man of God, and we know God thinks that way. Why? Because he never actually died. He never actually died. I mean, there's something very supernatural.
For sure.
What is that like? So he is a great man of God, but even we can be great in the kingdom, and sometimes fear can come and impact us. And now we've been almost, it feels like a year in lockdown, doesn't it? That's what it feels like. And it's all around the world. Even if you're listening from another nation, you've got your struggles too. And so there's this fear that the enemy has sent around the world. And it came and it impacted the man of God. And so he ran. I don't believe he was afraid for his own life because he had demonstrated such boldness with the Lord. But I think it was his, because he lived his entire life for the purposes and plans of God. And there was this feeling of having failed in that or not succeeded that made him just like fear coming over him. And so he was running. He was running. His heart was broken. How could it still be possible for Jezebel to influence her husband in such a way when the king had seen the miracle of God? How could he not recognize Jehovah as God Almighty? Inconceivable. And sometimes we minister to people, we've seen people that are miraculously healed, but they're not interested in getting to know God. They don't want to hear about church. It seems like they're still blinded, but we still have to go on, because there's a spirit of Jezebel that blinds people, but we still must go on. So number one, fear came. Number two, verse four, he isolated himself even more. Isolation. This is what people of God are facing, isolation. And here we now in Scotland have this situation where we are no longer allowed to meet together as a congregation. We have to meet with you over Facebook. Isolation. And that took him into the wilderness. He went into the wilderness. It doesn't say that God told him to go there. He went there. I think this is what's happened all throughout these various lockdowns, is that fear comes on people and they end up feeling even more isolated and into a wilderness type of experience. It can happen so easily, a wilderness experience. Elijah was depressed, even suicidal, in that he prayed, you know, just let me die. I mean, that is a spirit of suicide speaking, isn't it? Praying to die. But thankfully, God never answered that prayer. God never answered that prayer. And the day that the Lord sent his chariot to pick up Elijah, and he's, whoosh, off we go to the heavenlies, he would be saying, thank you, Lord, you never answered that prayer. But he never died. And he still hasn't died. Praise God. So even though you have your wilderness experience, God's grace is there for us to turn around. So let's watch yourself. Don't allow yourself to go into a wilderness experience that the Lord is not leading you into. And then he goes on. He's got fear. He's in isolation. He's depressed. He's suicidal. He says, I've had enough. I've heard a lot of people saying that about the shutdown and about the world situation. I've had enough. Because it's how we feel as human beings. I've had enough. Disappointments. God's plan. What is God's plan? But God had a marvelous plan. The last thing that Elijah said was, he said to the Lord, take my life. But the Lord did use his life, but he didn't take his life in that way. Watch how God ministers to his servant, even in this wilderness experience. He provides him a place of rest. In the wilderness, there's a tree. There's a place of rest for you and for me. Then the Lord sends his angels to minister. This is scriptural. This is what the Bible tells us. The angels of the Lord encamp those that fear the Lord. We are not alone. The heavenly host. And even in this day and age, there are more angels of God, more of the heavenly host on the earth today than there was a number of years ago, because it's an intense battle. You think God doesn't know that? He releases his angels in advance because he knows what is needed. Number three, Elijah is miraculously provided for food and water. Comes miraculously to him. How is, do I know he's miraculous? Well, because he had two meals and they lasted him for 40 days and 40 nights. I would call that a miracle. You can call this an Elijah fast. As a body of believers, we are doing a Daniel fast. The Bible teaches us all different kinds of fasts. But this particular Elijah fast, right? Because after he ate, he didn't have anything for 40 days and 40 nights. So this is a miracle. But God allowed him to wander through this wilderness. He traveled 200 miles and he took 40 days. That's 5 miles a day. He could have made that journey faster. But when we allow fear and isolation come in our life, sometimes the Lord just, by his grace, just gives us time to do a little wander around the desert. He just gives us some time. He gives us the provision. But he allows us to walk through it. That's what he did with the children of Israelite as they came out of Egypt, wasn't it? Their journey was much longer than it needed to be. And so the Lord allows that. He gives us time so that we can come round. So this was really, I would call it an Elijah fast. And it shows us that an Elijah fast leads us to an encounter with God, which we'll come to be read about. He actually was led by the Lord and he had an encounter with God that put him back on and gave him his next assignments, very specific assignments. Fasting breaks off depression and suicide and isolation and all that negativity. Fasting breaks it off, because when we fast, we become weak in a sense, but become more dependent on the Lord. It's like the song we were singing, being on our knees is how we fight our battle. When we are weak, we are strong. This is the kingdom of God. So this is a great example of a fast that breaks off spirits of depression, spirits of suicide. There's many other kinds of fasts in the Bible. We are doing the Daniel fast. And of course, the Daniel fast is a partial fast where we are not going without food and water. But we are taking vegetables and fruit and lentils, etc. So we are still nourished, but with certain things we are not taking. And that leads us to wisdom and understanding. Because in the first chapter of the book of Daniel, we read that God gave them wisdom and understanding. And they ended up being 10 times smarter than those of the world. So Daniel fast leads to wisdom and understanding. Yes, Lord, we receive that because we really need it for the days ahead, don't we? Then there was the fast that the town of Nineveh did. You remember the story about Jonah that got swallowed up by the big fish because he didn't want to go and preach. But when he eventually went to preach, what happened? The whole town repented before the Lord and went into fasting and prayer. There was a total fast. No water and no food for 3 days. Oh, not only just for the people, but for all the animals. And God changed his plan. Because they repented, he saved the town. So if you are in a life and death situation, if you repent before the Lord and fast and pray, can break that off. God so longs for us just to repent of our sin so he can come and rescue us. Then there was the Ezra fast, which led to supernatural protection when Ezra, with all of his people, had this long journey and there was all the robbers on the way. And it led to supernatural protection. We also live in a day where there's a lot of negative things that want to rob us of what God is giving us. But through fasting, that was broken. Then there was the disciples' fast, because Jesus told the disciples, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. These were the three things that the Lord always spoke. And that led to the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit and casting out even the strongest of demons. Praise God. So today we encourage ourselves, as we are in a Daniel fast, that we are in a spirit of expectation. We are becoming weak in one sense, but strong in the Lord. Now, what did Elijah do? Back to the story of Elijah, verse 9. Elijah enters into a cave. What does that make you think about? The Rock of Ages. We have to hide ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our rock. The Lord has planted our feet on the rock, and a rock cannot be moved. And then God asked him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And God allows Elijah just to vent. Do you know God is a big God? You got something on your heart, you can speak to God. He is very big and he can cope very well with whatever. What have you got inside of you that you need to hand over to the Lord Jesus today, because his arms are wide open? What burdens do you have? Cast your burdens on the Lord. Tell the Lord about it. The Message Bible says that worry about nothing and pray about everything. Why? Because we're supposed to take our burdens and put them on the Lord. He has carried all of the burdens for us, so there's no need for us to carry it. And this is really what the Lord is inviting us and Elijah when he says, what are you doing here? And so Elijah, he vents off. He says in verse 14, I am the only one left. Well, that's what it feels like when you sit in a lockdown and you sit by yourself and you can't physically meet up. You feel like you're all on your own, don't you? It's a natural feeling, but we are not on our own, because the Lord says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you, lives in me. So we are not on our own. But Elijah says, I'm the only one alone. And now they're also trying to kill me. Now, when people get depressed, the rational thinking goes out the window. Because really, if he was all alone, all the more reason for him to stay alive, actually. Because he would have to do all the work, wouldn't he? But he feels like he's all alone. And then God says, by the way, I've got another 7,000. I've got another 7,000. They've never bowed their knee. The Lord has a lot more people, even in this nation of Scotland. God has many godly men and women all around in all different churches and different places. And this is the time for the people of God to arise. Notice that God was not in the storm. He was not in the wind. He was not in the earthquake. The Lord says, it's not by might, not by power. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. It is by the Holy Spirit. So God met Elijah in this quiet whisper of a voice, instead of the big earthquake and the big noise and all the phenomena. And there will be some people that will be convinced when the fire of God comes and they see all the supernatural things. But there will be other people, they still won't be convinced. But if they can hear the still small voice of God in their innermost being, their lives can be transformed. This is what happened to Elijah. It was the still small voice of God speaking in the human heart can be more powerful than any external display. And so we see that Elijah goes on. He gets all of his assignments. So I just want to encourage you today. God has assignments for you. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. I know we all go through it. I go through it myself in the lockdown. You think, ah, so frustrating. I watched a video clip last year, 2020. This beautiful young woman says, I have written a song about this year. And she gets a guitar out, she strums away. And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a beautiful song. She was really good on the guitar. And then when she's going to start to sing, she just goes, ah! That was her song about 2020. That's probably quite a descriptive way to describe 2020. And it's fine. Just tell the Lord, how do you feel today? Fed up with the lockdown. Fed up with this, that, and the other. But today, the Lord is coming to us with his arms wide open. He says, what are you doing? And it's an invitation for us to have that kind of encounter with the Lord, where we hear his still small voice and he gives us our next assignments and the things that God has for us. The Holy Spirit cannot be locked down. Don't you know that even though the Jezebel spirit is working and trying to bring in one world government and the mark of the beast before its time, God is not allowing it. Not now. This is not the right time. God is saying the next 4 years is a time of harvest. It is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit all around the world. And we, the church, we've got to be ready. So let's be ready. Let's get out of the cave. Let's put all of our burdens. Let's give all the, give it over to the Lord and receive his instruction for the days ahead. You can reach people. You can lift up the phone. You've got a neighbor you can talk to in the garden. There's people that are depending on you to give them the good news. And the power of the Holy Spirit is on you to do the work that he has called you for. He has not changed his mind. You are called by God. You are equipped by God. And this is the time for harvest starting right now. This is the year where the harvest begins. We are in reaping. Praise God. Not weeping. Reaping. Praise God. So I'll just finish with that and I'll just bless.